All right, guys, so I'm super excited tonight is that I am not speaking to you guys. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. But we have a very special guest in the house tonight. We have the pastor from Haymount United Methodist Church, or Haymount Methodist United. Something like that. I should know that. Man, but super excited. He is a former guy with YWAM. He was a missionary in Namibia. And man, I love just sitting down and talking to this guy and just talking to him about how God is moving over there and how God has used him. I'm talking about miracles, seeing eyeballs pop back in sockets, y'all. Just super crazy, awesome stuff. And we were talking and we had the idea of, hey, like, what if you speak at my youth group and I go speak at your youth group? And we're like, bro, that's an amazing idea. Let's do it. So without further ado, if you guys could welcome Pastor Paul Street up here, and he's going to be bringing the cheese to you guys today.
Hey, brother. Yeah. How y'all doing? My name is Paul Street. I'm the youth pastor at Haymount. I'm good friends with Josh and Blaine. I just want to say before we do anything else, do you guys know how spoiled you are to have pastors like Josh and Blaine? Do you guys realize how spoiled you are? Like, maybe you haven't been much outside of Fayetteville, so I just want to lay it out that I've been to a lot of youth groups around the world, and I'm not trying to boast, I'm just saying I've been to a lot of places, and you guys are some of the most blessed, spoiled youth to have leaders like Josh and Blaine. Can we not to build them up and make them feel like there's something more than what God's meant? But just for them, can we just give them a round of applause? We love you guys. Love you guys, man. Yeah, so you guys probably wonder what I'm doing here and who I am. I wanted to show you a picture of my family real quick. Is that okay? Is that all right? Can you show them a picture of my family? Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. That's my wife, August, which is right here. August, stand up and just say hi. That's my wife, August. Yeah, thank you, August. And my son's the taller one. Is Emmanuel, the shorter one with the dunce cap, whatever that's about, is Zodicus, which means breath of God. I met my wife when I was a missionary in Africa. She's actually from Africa, born and raised. My first son was born in Africa, Emmanuel, the taller one. He is from Africa. He's a dual citizen here in America. So we have mission and culture in our blood. Amen? Amen. Amen. And so that's who we are. Now, Josh just said that I got crazy stories, and I do have some stories that one would call crazy. So I'm going to tell you a quick one before I move on. Is that okay? Are you all right with that? You guys cool with that? Okay, check this out. So I'm meeting with an apostle, and I always kind of don't know what to do when someone calls himself an apostle. I'm like, why do you need that? Okay, you know. So he said, you know, I'm apostle, this and that, in Africa. I'm like, all right. And then he tells me this story, and then he shows me this story. You ever had somebody tell you a story, and you're like, that is so insane, you're lying through your teeth. And then he shows you the story, and you're like, oh, that happened. Okay. You know what I'm talking about? You guys stare really well. Just want to put that out there. You're good at staring. So I'm talking to this apostle, and this apostle says, I went to a friend's house who had a tumor the size of a baseball sticking out of his head. And I'm like, okay, so where's this story going, you know? And then he says, and then we prayed for it, and it started to shrink, but it didn't shrink completely. And I said, go God, I guess. I don't know. He's still kind of big, though. So he said, so you come with me. Let's pray for this tumor. And I'm like, if we're going to pray for this thing, we're not praying for it to shrink. We're praying for it to disappear. How many of you want to say amen to that? Amen. So I said, well, if we're going to do this, let's go for it. We're not just going to have a shrinkage. We're going to go for it. So I go over to this guy's house, and me and Bishop go and pray over this guy, and he's kind of like, and this. And have you ever had this moment where you don't want to stare at a certain feature of somebody, but you catch yourself staring? It's like the broccoli piece in the tooth. You know what I'm talking about, right? You're like, you know what I'm talking. You guys get what I'm saying, right? Some of you have that going on right now, and I'm trying not to look at you, Brianna. So. I'm looking at this dude's tumor, and I'm kind of like, needs to shrink. You know, I'm just like, I can't stop staring at it. And I'm trying to be anointed. At the same time, I'm like, it's huge. And so, you know, so we're praying over this thing. And I kid you not, listen to me, listen. Me and Bishop are praying over this thing. And this guy's like, I feel something's coming. And I'm like, this could go a lot of ways. Here we go. Father in the name. And all of a sudden, It fell right off his head. Shh. So that's not the end of the story, though, because now we have a tumor laying on the ground. What do you do with that? That's not in the minister's manual. Have you read it? It's not in there. What do you do with tumor on the floor? That's page 17. What do you do with that? So listen. So I'm in Africa, so I don't know what to do. I'm like, what's the procedure here? And this is what Bishop does, right? So it's about this big anyway. Let's say tumor was on the ground. He's like, I know what you should do with this. And he's throwing it up like a baseball. I know what you should do with this. And the other guy's like, yeah, what should I do? And he's feeling it, and it's totally like healed already. There's nothing. And he's like, you should put it in a picture frame and hang it on the wall. I was going to say flush it down the toilet, but I see where you're going with that. Yeah, picture frame it. So he did. He put his dried up, shriveled up tumor in a picture frame and hung it on his wall. And next time I went to visit him when I was in the village, he's like, brother, come over here. And I'm like, all right, you, it's you again. And he's like, check out what's on my wall. And I'm like, that's the tumor. Do you want dinner? I can't look at anything else right now. The tumor has my attention. God didn't mind that this guy hung his old appendage on the wall because he used it as a testimony. How many of you know God doesn't mind you using your former mistakes and your former problems to lead other people to see how good God is? That'll preach pretty good, actually. Better than what you're clapping right now. But we'll... Thanks, Josh. I can always count on you. So like I said, I'm the pastor over at Haymount across town, and we're a family. How many of you believe Destiny Generation is a family? You guys are family here. Are you with me? Yeah. Some of you were born in different neighborhoods and different cities, and a military town brings people together and this and that. But at Haymount, we're trying to cultivate house rules. I know the word rules kind of stinks with a lot of young people, but what we're basically saying is if we're going to be a family over at Haymount, there's some things that establish us as a family. So I put up the next slide. I want to show you some of these house rules. We're note takers.
Dang, this guy, I don't like him already. I do not like this guy. I do not like him, Sam, I am. I do.
So we're note takers over at Haymount. Are we note takers at Destiny Generation? Are y'all note takers? We're worshipers. Now, I know y'all are worshipers. Am I right? I just saw it, right? Yeah. We're worshipers. We're excited about youth group. Are you guys excited about youth group? Yeah. We're responsive. I should have put that as number one. We're responsive. How many of you know what that means, to be responsive? The house rules at my youth group is if God's landing on something in your heart, you don't just sit... I'll think about this for a while. You let people know, man, that just landed on me. You with me? Yeah. I'm going to park my spiritual car in that space for a second and let God just flow on that. Do you get what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying to you? And I know every Wednesday night you're getting that because of the caliber of teaching that you have coming in here. I know that. You know, I'm here. No, but so we're intentional. How many of y'all know what it means to be intentional? It means we do things on purpose. You hear what I'm saying? We sing certain songs on purpose. We shake hands on purpose. We tell somebody you're awesome on purpose. And we, listen, and we expose our own junk to God on purpose because we don't care if it embarrasses us. We don't want to go out the same way we came in. Y'all with me? And finally, we're invaders. Some of y'all are like, what is it? Are you Indiana Jones? No. Listen, we're here's what invaders means. We don't need to invade what's already established in church. There's nothing to invade. It's already heaven on earth. There's nothing to invade. Does that make sense? Y'all with me? The groundwork's already been established. Heaven's already come. Look, let me put it another way. Are y'all listening to me? Listen, we don't start the worship service at 7 o'clock. We join what has already been going on for eternity. Let me put that another way. You ever turned on the radio? You're in your friend's car and you turn on the radio and it's your favorite song. You're like, turn that up! Hey, turn that up! And right when they turn it up, it's the end of the song. You're like, sucks. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That song was already playing on the radio. You just hadn't turned it on yet to hear it. Does that make sense? Worship's already been going on since your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpappy was alive. And tonight, you just join it at 7 o'clock, what's already been going on. Does that make sense? I say all that to say, when I say we're invaders, listen, what I'm saying is this, is we go outside of the ark and we invade places that doesn't have the atmosphere set up yet of heaven. Some of y'all are looking at me like, yeah, that's Josh and Blaine's job, that's Pastor Rob's job, and I guess now it's white dude with black wife's job, but that's not my job. You look shocked, but you were thinking it. Y'all with me? Y'all with me? It's not just my job, and it's not just their job. Believe it or not, listen, it's your job. That's our house rule. That's not my pastor rule. That's our house rule, which means if you're part of my family, and Haymount's part of my family, my youth group, and guess what? But by the way, you can steal these, any of these you want. They're not mine. They're God's. They just he gave it to me. I got to read them first, right? So you can take them, and you guys can be invaders outside of church. Isn't that awesome? I love Dunn Road. I like the rest of Fayetteville, too, and I want the rest of Fayetteville to get what's going on Dunn Road every Wednesday night. Sadly, I can't clone Josh and send him to every single house and every neighborhood and every street and every high school campus. I can't send him to your uncle and your aunt. And you know that cousin that's really annoying and keeps bumming you for money? Josh can't meet them either. You have to. Some of y'all aren't sure where I'm going with that, but think about it. Remember the family picnic? The one that never shows up but then showed up and started some drama and you're like, I wish you would just disappear again. Yeah, that one. Josh may not be able to reach that one. You might, though. It's awful quiet in here. You all right? We have a lot of fire in youth group. You know what I'm talking about? Like when you catch the Holy Spirit fire in youth group. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Like that one song is played. You know the song I'm talking about, right? Whichever one fires you up. Y'all, yeah, our song, right? It's our song. You know what I'm talking about? And when that song is played, you turn to your friend, you go, "This is it. We were just listen. That's the one. That's the oh yeah, yeah." And you're dabbing, and you're doing all the stuff, and they're up there going, "Oh, the over." You're dabbing. That doesn't what we're doing here. We're trying to Holy Spirit. That's not okay. We don't whip and nay nay to the Lord, or do we? Okay, so. It could go either way. It could. We could stir up a lot of fire and get so pumped. Have you ever, like, when worship service ends, maybe it was even tonight, and you're like, oh, that was so good, and now I got to listen to some guy talk to me. It reminds me of school because I have to sit and listen to a teacher. But if we could just keep playing music, it was so amazing. I was so in the spirit. And then this happens. But the problem is, if you get on fire but you don't know where to direct it, you'll just burn up in youth group, but then you go out in a sin-soaked world and shake your head and go, what is wrong with these people? Let me say that again because some of y'all are like still thinking about my comment back in the day, so let me say this right now. If all we do is get pumped about the music here, now, on this carpet, in this place, with this stage, with those graphics, here, now, and it doesn't translate to there, then, that person, then we burn up and flame up and get excited, ah, Jesus, ah! And we go out there and look at the world and we just go, man, Jesus, just come back and wipe this place. I'm going back into the ark, man. That's where I feel like God is at. God's everywhere. Where are you? You don't know where I'm at. I'm at Douglas Bird. No way. God is not at Douglas Bird. Let me tell you right now. I'm at Southview. Do you know the drug problem at Southview? Let me tell you something. It is dangerous out there in the world. I need to be in the ark, like, all the time. Like, if they had it unlocked all day, every day, I wouldn't leave. I wouldn't leave. I would be here all the time. And I would ask, do you have a working relationship with Jesus? Because Jesus didn't hang out in the synagogue too long, too many times. Are y'all with me? Jesus kind of left the synagogue. In fact, he kind of went out to the places where people were jacked up, messed up, smelled up. You ever had somebody that, I don't know if that's a word, but you smelled up. You know what I'm talking about? Some of you are like, I'm sitting next to him right now. Y'all with me? Yeah. Can I get serious for a minute? I know you guys are like, this guy's not serious. I don't know where the sermon's going, but in the toilet. But you guys, can I just be serious for a second? You with me?
Yes.
Just a second, though. When we try to stir up intimacy with God on a worship night, we try to really get into the presence of God, but the rest of the week you have not built relationship with him. In other words, the only time you're hearing worship music is Wednesday night. The only time you're talking about God or talking to God is Wednesday night. The only time he's really kind of in your thoughts, because there he's not, but here he is. In that class in history, he's not, but he's here. On the bus, he's not, but he's here. At home, there is no God in my house, but thank God for Wednesday nights. When we make this an intimacy and you come and you're trying to make it happen and you try to have intimacy without relationship, there's another word for intimacy without relationship. Next slide. Next slide. You ever wonder what it looks like to prostitute yourself to God? To become a prostitute before God? You know what that means? That means you try to make your relationship with God work in a deep and meaningful way on Wednesday night, and you're wondering why it just don't click with you. Why is the guy next to me so on fire? And I'm just like, man, this music sucks. Why is the guy next to me shouting something? I don't know what to shout. What do I shout? I mean, I like this place. They got foosball tables. There's some smoke on stage. Josh is pretty exciting. He's always pumped about something, you know. It's better than being at home where my parents are always yelling at each other. I mean, I don't mind coming here, but what are these people doing? Y'all with me? Y'all with me? Why is it that this guy seems like, is he over the top? What's his problem? Is he faking it? He's faking it. Nobody's that excited about Jesus. I mean, I know the pastors are, but they, you know, drank the Kool-Aid. So what's up here? Y'all with me?
Yeah.
I love how they took that down quickly. They're like, we have pastors in the room. Take that down. You guys remember what God's words were at judgment? When he says, well done, good and? Well done, good and faithful servant. I love that at judgment he doesn't say well prayed. Or how about well attended? Well attended. You attended Destiny Generation all throughout your high school years. Come into my kingdom. Well tithed, my good and you gave 10%. Come into my kingdom. Well prayed. You prayed that prayer. You guys remember the prayer, right? Remember? It was at the last camp. Remember that one? The last camp. You came down front. The lights were really low. The guy was up here with like the tattoo that says, I have a testimony. And he was playing something. Remember that one? And you came down and you said, come into my heart. I'm changed. I am changed. I am changed. It feels really good to be changed. And you wonder why a week after camp you're like, that was cool, but it's in the past now, and this is reality. Y'all with me? There's something we have, now before you judge me, listen, there's something we have to do to be a good and faithful servant. There isn't something we have to pray, and there isn't something we have to attend. There's something we have to do. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
Give me the next slide. Love is an action verb. How many of y'all know that's true? How many of y'all know that's true?
Yeah.
You know what an action verb means? I hate to bring up English. Action verb means love is a word that actually has to have legs on it. You have to do it. Some of y'all kind of look like you already like zoned out. So let me bring it back to the last slide for a second. Listen, if you are in Christ and you are coming to youth group and you claim that you know Jesus, you are a Christian, and you are acting like Christ, the root word, Christian, Christian. If you're going to act like Christ, you have to go all the way with it, not halfway. And that means you have to love others. But that can't just be something he says give two high fives to people. It has to be something that makes you feel at times uncomfortable. I really don't like this guy. Don't ever bring him back. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
I got to give a disclaimer, though. Works of goodness cannot get you into heaven. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
My bro here kind of hit on that this evening. I appreciate that, man. Works of goodness can't get... You can't work your way into heaven. You can only claim the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross, that mercy gift for us. How many of you know that's true? How many of you... Please tell me that we've been preaching that in this church at least. All right, okay, all right. I was about to come at you, but now I'm playing. But, everybody say but. There is some stuff in James that I want to read to you. And I know you've read this before, but when I was 18 and I went in the Army and I came to Fort Bragg, this is what brought me to Fayetteville. I was in the military. I jumped out of airplanes for 4 years. It was awesome and scary. And I won't tell any stories of that, but it freaked me out. But I came to Fort Bragg and God opened up the book of James. Give me the next slide real quick. I'm just going to read it. Just follow along up here. Don't zone out. Don't zone out because I'm about to get into a really funny story. So don't zone out on me yet, okay? Dear brothers and sisters, I'm going to add sisters, hope you don't mind that. What's the use of saying that you have faith in Destiny Generation Wednesday Night Group and you're Christians if you aren't proving it by helping others? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Some of y'all missed that one, so I'm going to read that sentence again just for you, okay? Dear brothers and sisters, what's the use of saying that you have faith and are Christians in Destiny Generation at Dunn Road, Fayetteville, North Carolina, if you aren't proving it by helping others? Will that kind of faith save anybody? Wait, Paul, wait. You just told me the blood of Jesus is all I need. What is this nonsense? Well, that's the word of God, and we got to wrestle with it. Y'all okay with that? Some of y'all love that he saved you. He's your savior. That means no hell, fire, and brimstone. But you don't want him to be Lord. Wait, is that like a package deal? Got to get them both? Yeah, kind of. You don't want hell. You want heaven, eternity, gold streets, walking with Jesus, all the stuff that we're praying about, how he accepts you and he encourages you and he loves you. And he's going to stretch out his arms and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Are y'all with me? But the same Bible that said that Jesus died for the whole world, John 3:16, says this. If you have a friend who's in need of food or clothing, and you say to them, well, bye, and God bless you, stay warm and eat hearty, and they don't give them clothes or food, what does that do? Well, I don't get many clothes at Christmas time, so I kind of need the clothes I have. Okay, so, and here's the thing, I don't get any money, so whatever I eat, I said school, I'm on a program, so I don't have food to give people, so how does that affect anything? You ever had somebody who you could just tell are having a horrible day? You ever looked at somebody and know they're having a horrible day? Raise your hand if you've done that. If you ain't raising your hand, you are lying in church. How many of you, now listen, how many of you have ever looked at somebody who's having a horrible day and they're not a good friend of yours, but you can just tell they're having a horrible day? Raise your hand. All right, put them down. Look at me. Look, everybody look up. Look. Those are the ones that you're supposed to love on. I don't know them. They don't know me. They might tell me to blankety blank off. They might, you know, they might throw some words at me that I ain't supposed to say in church. Let them say it. Be like Jesus anyway. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
Stop trying to be liked so much by the world. And look, can I just, listen. Because I'm short, I'm going to get up. Listen. You are actually, your character, your personality, your right and wrong values should be at a complete disconnect with the world and where it's heading. In other words, your holiness should rub somebody the wrong way, not because you're trying to shove it down their throat, but because you're being like Jesus, it honestly rubs them the wrong way because they're not. Does this make sense? What? Well, listen, why did Jesus say to the disciples on the night that, you know, before he goes, listen, if the world hates you, they hated me first. Better way to put it, when the world hates you, just remember, they hated me to the point they nailed me on a piece of wood like a picture frame. Do you get what I'm saying? They hated me so much they killed me. So they're going to hate you because you're going to be like me. Y'all with me? Sometimes we're trying to undo that, though. We're like, no, man, you got to make the message where everybody loves it. You got to make Christianity where anybody can feel like they can just jump in. You got to make salvation accessible, but you don't make it easy.
Yeah.
Wow. Write that down if you're taking notes. You got to make salvation accessible, but you can't make it easy. It is not easy to get rid of your junk and ask the Holy Spirit to take what should not be in there and get rid of it.
Come on now.
Are y'all getting that?
Yeah.
I want you all to get that point, because some of us in this room, including me at times, some of us are carrying around stuff we were never supposed to carry around that Jesus said, I put it on the cross, but you just keep yanking it off. Like, I don't get it. You singing songs to me about how free you are, but you walking around with a bag full of junk. Like, I don't understand. Does this make sense? Give me the next slide real quick. 2 Corinthians 5, 9, and 10. So we make it our goal to please God, Him, whether we are at home, in the body, or away from it, in heaven. For we must, listen to it, watch this. Everybody look up. Everybody look up at verse 10. Everybody. Whether or not you're like, dude, I haven't listened to a word you said, come back for this, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due for us, the things we've done in the body, whether good or bad. Read that for yourself real quick. For we, who's we? Everyone in this room, must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us, who's us? Everyone in this room, may receive what is due to us for the things prayed? For the things attended? Oh, the things done. Okay, so there's some action I got to do. I can't just attend Destiny Generation and pass judgment. I get it now. There's stuff I got to do with this faith. Are you all listening still? Whether it's good or bad, I'm going to, as a Christian, going to face Jesus. Whether it's good or bad, my parents can't stand with me. My youth pastor when I was a teen can't stand with me. My head pastor can't stand with me. Josh can't stand with me. I will stand before the Lord, and He's going to look at me and say, let's see what you've done in your life with the cross. Did you come and sit at church and, yes, Lord. Oh, that was so good. I love it. I love you. I can't wait for Wednesday nights. It's like the only night where things aren't crazy and my parents don't make me do homework. I love Wednesday nights. And the rest of the week, I couldn't tell if you're a Christian, if you were standing next to an atheist. You look like, act like, sound like, talk like anybody else that wouldn't attend church. The only difference is Wednesday night, your butts are here and not on the couch. Y'all with me? So as an intentional minister, I made it my goal to live in such a way to reach the world with deeds outside the youth group. So let me, now time for, you guys ready for these insane stories? I mean, you guys might be like, dude, finally, something that isn't boring. Forget that, okay? I got the first story for you. So as a youth pastor, I did something called treasure hunts. You guys ever done treasure hunts before? Y'all ever done treasure hunts? The first time I ever took a youth group to do a treasure hunt. Here's a treasure hunt. Listen, here's what a treasure hunt is. Ready? Y'all listen? Are you guys still with me? It's about to get good, I promise. Listen, I took a youth group, and on Saturday we met some of my youth. There was a 13-year-old, listen to these ages, a 13-year-old, a 12-year-old, a 16-year-old, a 17-year-old, and a 19-year-old, all right? 12, 13, 16, 19, and whatever I just said. Those were those ages, right? And me, and I'm like, I'm a young youth pastor, I'm 24, I'm like, yeah, man. So here's what we're going to do, guys. We're going to pray in a circle, and we're going to ask God two questions. Because there's two questions we got to ask. Am I right? Who can I bless and how can I bless them? So I said, all right, guys, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray, who can I bless and how can I bless them? And whatever God gives you, I don't care how crazy it sounds, we're going to write it down and see what God says. Now, I thought we'd hear stuff like, go pray for the sick at the hospital. You know what I'm talking about, right? You know, go and like, go down to like where the homeless people are and pray for, you get what I'm saying, right? Are y'all with me? That's what I expected. Can I show you the list of what I got the first time I ever... Here, show them the list. Green Balloon, Walmart, and Waffle House. I want that to set in for a minute that I trusted a 12, 13, 16, 19, and 17-year-old to hear from the Lord, and I got Green Balloon, Walmart, and Waffle House. Is there a more unholy... I'm playing, but you get what I'm saying, right? You want to hear what we did? Y'all want to hear what we did? Yeah. We put some action to it. We said, Lord, if we're going to be judged according to what we've done, then let's do something. Hello? So we went to Walmart and bought a green balloon. How many of y'all know you can buy helium balloons at Walmart? We went to Walmart, bought a green balloon, and the only green balloon they had was a Scooby-Doo balloon. It had a picture of Scooby-Doo on the balloon. And I was like, God is going to anoint this helium balloon to bless the nation. And my youth are looking at me like, you're going to be fired at the end of the week. I'm like, I know. Let's go down in flames, baby. So we knocked out two of those things. So then the 16-year-old, I think it was the 16-year-old, goes, "We got to go to Waffle House with this balloon." I'm like, the dumbest idea has just been spoken. We shall follow that. We shall follow the Lord to Waffle House with a helium balloon with Scooby-Doo's face on it. And God is going to miraculously show up. I was thinking, if this all goes south, we're just going to suck helium and act like, you know, like just freak people out.
Do you know Jesus?
You know, like, whatever church that is, I'm coming, you know. Oh, Lord. So we go to Waffle House. You know what happened at Waffle House? We sat there for half an hour looking around. We said, "Lord, let the face of the person we're supposed to bless with this balloon like shine like heaven landed on them. Let the Shekinah glory just shine on the face." We were there half an hour, didn't see a thing except for a bunch of smothered, capped, and strapped potatoes or whatever that junk is they got there. You know what I'm talking about? How they just pour all that junk on the hash browns. We're watching people stuff their faces, and I'm like, the Lord is not here at all. Gluttony has overtaken this place. Y'all with me? If you work at Waffle House, please pray for me later, because I don't mean to slam your place. So after half hour, I go, this is the dumbest thing ever. We lost. Epic fail. We're done here. And then one of the youth go, let's go back to Walmart. I'm like, we've been to Walmart, man. We done that already, and nothing happened. They go, come on. So listen to what happens. Listen, are y'all with me still? Are y'all still with me? Because this is where it gets good. I dropped them off. I got the helium balloon in the trunk of the car because I didn't drive a very big car. So the helium balloon's in the trunk of the car. I dropped them off right at the front of Walmart. I go, let me go find a parking space, because how many of you know the parking lot at Walmart is like bumper cars on like steroids? How many of you know what I'm talking about, right? Like, it's the most dangerous place in Fayetteville is a Walmart parking lot. Y'all know what I'm talking about? The Merc ain't got nothing on the Walmart parking lot. Y'all with me? You see stuff at, I'm not even, you know what? That's a different sermon. I should actually do a sermon on what you see at a Walmart parking lot. Yeah. I mean, the amount of people you get saved at a Walmart parking lot. Anyway, so I dropped them off at the entrance. And listen, I'm driving the car. And you know, you don't go much more than 5 miles per hour. Listen to this. I'm driving the car, and I'm just like, this is going to be the dumbest. The families of these kids are going to fire me. And right while I'm driving, listen, a green helium balloon goes across my windshield and up into the air. And I go. And I look. There is a mom with her back to me, loading the groceries, and a three-year-old going, because how many of you know a little kid losing their balloon is like you and I having our identity stolen with our bank account information? How many of you know that? How many of you know that? So listen. So this three-year-old is screaming its head off, and I'm like, was that a green balloon that just passed over my windshield? What in the name of all that? So I pull in, and remember, the mom's back is to me. You with me? I walk up to the three-year-old with the balloon, and Sam's already ahead of me. He's like, this is going to end horribly. So I walk up to the three-year-old, and the mom's back is to me, and I tie it to his wrist, and this, you know how kids are. It's like, thank you. At this time, the mom turns around, and she gives me the look that all moms give when a weirdo is next to their little kid. You ready for it? You know that look? Y'all seen that look before? Your mom's done it before, hasn't she? You know what I'm talking about, where she's like, I know you ain't, you touching my child. Did you give him that balloon? That ain't the balloon I bought him. Back of the hand. So I'm sitting there, and I'm tying it, and I go, hi. And she's like, she like puts the kid behind her. You know what I'm talking about? She's like, can we help you? Right? And I said, you aren't going to believe this. She goes, I bet I won't. And I thought, this is going great. I'm going to get arrested. they're going to charge me with kidnapping. All right, so I'm looking at her, and I said, you aren't going to believe this. She goes, I bet I won't. And I said, this morning, me and a bunch of youth got up on a Saturday, sat at our church, and asked, who can I bless? How can I bless them? And the Lord gave me those three things. And her eyes don't go like this. Oh, she goes, what? And I said, I know, this is crazy, but we bought this green balloon, and then when I was driving, and I pointed, and you could still barely see the green balloon, his balloon, way up there like a little dot, and I go, that was your son's balloon. It let go of it right when I was driving by, and now she's looking at me like I'm some sort of pervert and child. You know what I'm talking about? She's like, Okay, thank you. No, thanks. Okay. And guys, have you ever had something come out of your mouth, and when it comes out of your mouth, that was the first time you ever knew it was going to come out? You didn't think about it beforehand, it just happened? You all know what I'm talking about? So she's walking away, and I just go, it was an angelic message from the Lord. I don't know where that came from. And literally, watch. This is what happened. I kid you not. She did this. She goes, what did you say? I said, I'm going for broke. It was an angelic message from the Lord. And I don't know, if guys or girls, you know this too. When a woman's been wearing mascara and she starts to cry, so she looks like a rodeo clown. Do you know what I'm talking about? I'm sorry. I don't know how to put it any other way. She starts to cry, and it's going down her face, and she goes, did you say that was an angelic message? And I said, that's what I said. And this is what, listen. She walks towards me with her son, holding him, still behind her, but holding him, and goes, this boy's dad left us last night with everything. Just left the house with all of our bank cards, all of our stuff, left me with nothing. And I called my mom, and I told her, your God, where is your God now? And my mom last night said this, I'm praying that God will send an angelic message your way tomorrow. Wow. Hey, did you guys get the goosebumps too? Did you get them? Some of the guys don't. I don't get goosebumps. I'm a man. Yeah, you do. So listen. So here's the funniest part. Watch. I pull back up to pick up the youth. I'm like, hey, get in the car. And they're coming in so bummed. They're like, we'll never find that green balloon, man. It's just... And I'm like, y'all ain't gonna believe what happened. I tell them the story. They hated me for like a week. They're like, you didn't yell for us. I go, what do you want me to do? It was right there in the moment. You know what got me later? Listen, two things that got me later that's totally crazy. Listen to this. One, had I gone a mile or 2 miles faster, per mile, per hour faster, the green balloon would have passed me that way or ahead of me this way. I never would have caught it. How about this? Had I not been in that lane, in all the lanes in a Walmart parking lot, I wouldn't have seen it. I was in the exact lane at the exact moment that a helium balloon takes off. How many of you know helium balloons take off pretty quickly? I was in the right place at the right time. Here's what else will blow your mind. Listen, what was Waffle House all about? Timing. Later, we were praying about it, and the Holy Spirit's like, you bought the balloon too early. You're supposed to go to Waffle House first, but since you switched it, I made you go and sit at Waffle House for half an hour so that mom could get out of the store and be right there when you drove by. And we were like, y'all with me? Yeah. Can I tell you one more story? I know. Can I just tell you one more story? So now a couple weeks later, I am like super, remember how freaked out I was the first time? Now I'm like super pastor, right? Now instead of having a group of five, I have a group of like 15 kids that want to do it. Like they told all their friends, dude, you got to come with Pastor Paul. We're going to do this again. So we go for this thing Saturday morning, and now I've got 15 kids, and they're all kinds of ages from 11 to like 19. And I'm like, dude, whatever God gives you, it doesn't even matter how crazy it is. We're going to write it down. And this is what we got. The mall, an orange car, red rock, and green shirt. This guy was not surprised. I'm like, let's do it, man. Mall, orange car, red rock, green shirt. What should we do first? And this is what, I'll never forget it. Jeremy Morales, my buddy. He was 17 at the time. He goes, Paul, let's go to the mall and find an orange car. How many of you know orange cars aren't everywhere? How many of you know that? So I'm like, all right, let's go to the mall and find an orange car. Maybe it's broke down and we just go, re, ba, ba, sa, and the engine goes, whoom. And I'll be like, Lord, you get what I'm saying? Y'all with me? So we're driving around the parking lot. It is Phoenix, Arizona, and the outside that day was about 114 degrees in Phoenix, Arizona in the summer. 114 degrees. And it's the mall, man, so nobody's out. Listen. Nobody's out in the parking lot. Nobody's out in the parking lot because everybody's inside where the air conditioning is. And so we're driving around. There's white cars, gray cars, black cars, and all the dark blue cars. And then we see one orange car in the distance, and Jeremy like almost jumps into the driver's seat going, there it is! So we pull over, and there happens to be a parking space horizontal to whatever you call it. I'm sorry, it's been diagonal to it. So I pull in diagonal to it. That's the orange car. That's us. And I go, it's a sign. We're supposed to go to the mall. I thought that was the end of the story. That we're supposed to park there. That's the sign. We're supposed to go in the mall. So me and the other car that held the other kids, right, because there was like 15 of us, we get out, and we're walking into JCPenney. And there's nobody out in the parking lot because it's so hot. So we're walking in, and we're kind of sweating. And one guy's walking out of JCPenney, and he's about 6'4". He's got sleeveless shirt on, and I have nothing against it. I'm just saying, he had like demonic tattoos on his arm, like stuff that was like Satanic horns and stuff. He had the big huge studs in his ears. You know what I'm talking about? Like piercings all over the place, which I'm not judging the guy. I'm just saying this is what he looked like. You hear me? He wasn't the kind of guy that I was going to come up to and go, hey, man, you want to chill? I was like kind of like, this guy, I've got kids. I got to, you know, just in case. I don't know what's going on. So he walks past us, and I'm walking, and just like a movie. You ready for this? I start to get the thought, which car do you think is his? So I slow down. And listen, like a movie. Ready for it? We all just kind of like slow-mo turned around. Punk rocker dude is getting in the orange car. I am not lying. So the 14-year-old nudges me. The 14-year-old nudges me and goes, hey, Pastor Paul, hey. We got to go talk to that guy. I'm like, no, see, what God was doing was just further conforming. We got to get inside. We got to go in the mall. That was just a confirmation that we had the right car. And she goes, do you have any faith? A 14-year-old challenged the youth pastor's faith. So I go, all right. I go, hey, you all want to man up? You want to do this? Let's do this. So 15 youth are walking towards this guy. And listen, we walk up to his car. I'm going to be a few minutes over. Is that okay? We walk up to his car, and he's inside the car with the windows rolled up, the AC on, and he's lighting a cigarette. All right, whatever. And I'm just saying, he's lighting a cigarette, and he looks over, and there's 15 faces, and we're like, hi. Probably thought we were selling, like, Girl Scout cookies, right? And so, you know, like, he wants some troop number 17. So he's smoking a cigarette, and he just kind of rolls down the window that much. He's like, bzz. He's like, what's the deal here, man? And I'm like, you're not going to believe this, but we're a church. And he goes, not interested. And he zips up the window. I'm like, sorry, guys, we tried. And the 14-year-old, who was like the big man on campus, pushes past me and does this on the window. I'm like, dude, if this guy's going to hit somebody, it's going to be this guy. So he's banging on the glass. The guy rolls it down. He goes, bro, what's your problem, man? Right? And the 14-year-old, listen, I'm not lying. The 14-year-old looks at him and says, we have a word for you. And I'm like, you have the ministry to shut your mouth right now. That's the ministry you have. And I want you to exercise that gifting for the rest of your life. The shut your mouth ministry. And the 14-year-old goes, I have a word for you. And he goes, what does that mean? Like, I guess he's into it. He's like, what does that mean? And then the 13-year-old speaks, that's right behind me, I kid you not, says, you're going to jail tomorrow. You know it. You're scared, but you're trying to put on a front, and God wants to be with you. And I'm like, that was a mistake. Listen. Ready for this? Listen. He's like this. He had it in his mouth, and he just goes, what'd you say? And I was like, 13-year-olds, you know, they just, what is up with you? He just said, he ate too many SpaghettiOs. He just, don't hurt me. The guy goes, you say I'm going to jail tomorrow? And I'm like, I don't think you are, sir. I don't think you are. He goes, no, I am. No, get that kid up front. Get that kid up here. So I push the kid up. I'm like, you the one that's ministering? You the minister? 13-year-old, go for it. The 13-year-old comes up and goes, is it true? You going to prison tomorrow? And he goes, I got arraigned, and I'm going to jail tomorrow. That's when I have to appear at the county court, sheriff's office. I'm being put in jail tomorrow. I was just going to visit my girlfriend and say bye. She didn't know. I'm going. How'd you know that? And the kid just goes, the Lord told me. And he says that if you want to get saved, he's going to walk with you every day you're in prison. 13-year-old said this. And the guy does this with a cigarette. He goes, okay. And he puts it out. He goes, I'm listening. And I go, whatever else God's got for you, bro, we listen. He goes, can I pray for you? And the guy does this, which is so crazy that he did this. He goes, yes. And I'm like, where'd he learn that? What is this? So I was like, I'm going to lead the way. Finally, I'm going to be a man, right? I'm the youth pastor. So I shakily just go, I'm going to touch your shoulder, sir. I'm going to touch your shoulder. Because that's what Christians do. We touch shoulders when we pray, right? We're shoulder touchers. So I'm like, you make it sound like a bad thing. I don't even know what to do with that. So I touch his shoulder, and he does this. He goes, all right. Lord, I pray that you walk with him and all that. And this is what he does. He goes, not you, the 13-year-old. All right. 13-year-old prays a powerful prayer. The guy, ladies, have you ever seen a man who wants to cry, but he's too man to actually let the tear go out of the eye? Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Like it's hanging there, and you know it needs to drop, but he ain't gonna let that thing drop. That's what this dude was doing. It's like hanging there, and he's like, yeah, that was a good prayer. You're like, man, just let it drop. All right. And he looks up at us right before he drives off, and he just goes, that was pretty cool, man. Yeah. All right, I'll give this God thing a try. They have a chaplain at prisons usually. I'll check that out. I said, you should, man. And he was, hey, y'all come visit me? I'm like, which prison? He told us. 2 months later, me, the 13-year-old, and the 14-year-old that was originally the one that said something, us three went and visited him in prison. He was saved, attending Bible studies in the prison cell, you know? And he was, listen, and he actually had led, not his roommate in the cell, but the next cell over led that guy to Christ during his walk around in the courtyard. The guy was like, man, when I get out of here, I want to do what you do, man. I'm taking some kids around, and we're going to pray for people walking around. I'm like, yeah, I don't do that every day because I'm not crazy. Or am I? End of the story. Ready? Because I still have two more. Red Rock and green shirt. We go inside, and in the mall. So I'm like, dude, now we go in the mall and basically call the mall to fall apart. Like, we march around it 7 times, man. We're just going to destroy this mall. I don't know why, but we're doing it. Like, hey, it's coming down. Grab what you want, because we raiding this place. I told you I was an invader. We getting this. Christians don't steal. We burning it down. There's a store in the mall in Arizona, one of the malls, called Red Rock Shirt Company. And I said, well, whatever's going to go down, we go in Red Rock, we'll find a green shirt in Red Rock Shirt Company, whatever. There's nobody in Red Rock. So I come back out, and my youth, I was on the above floor, and I'm like, there's nothing, and there's just one youth here. The other 13 or 14 youth had already gone downstairs. It's a two-level mall, and they're downstairs next to Auntie Anne's Pretzel Factory. You know that Auntie Anne's Pretzel? And they're sitting next to a kid in a wheelchair with a green shirt on whose arms are stuck like this. And I'm like, okay, I can do tattoo guy and preaching the word. Asking for a healing in the middle of Auntie Anne's is a different level for me. Y'all with me? This just got really real. Because now I don't just need courage. I need faith that can move mountains. So we go down there, and the mom is just kind of going, whatever you guys can do, I mean, just pray for him. She's doing like the happy dance, you know? Like, she's a little nervous, but she will take anything. And she tells us how they've been to doctors, and they say he'll never use his arms again. And he's, you know, he's in a wheelchair. He's been born like this. So my 16-year-old... kid leads the way, because he just watched 13 and 14-year-old rock that guy, so he's like, what's up? So he's like, what's your name? And he's like, Johnny. And he goes, Johnny, you believe God can do something? He goes, yeah. And the mom now is crying. She's like, he's always had faith like that. He's always had faith like that. Like, tell him, like, people who are like total strangers, he has. He really, who are you? I don't know. He's always had faith like. And so 16-year-old comes up and says, in the name of Jesus, stretch out your arm. It's funny because I remember hearing Jesus say something just like that. You ready? Kid does it. Like this, right? And then the 16-year-old goes, no, all the way out. Healed. Listen. I would like to tell you we kept praying and he got up out of the wheelchair, but that's not true. We prayed for his arms and he got full range of motion. His mom was a nervous wreck. She was so thankful. She started attending church with us until they had to move out of Phoenix and move to Texas. She was at our church every Sunday with her youth. He was in our youth group. Johnny was in our youth group, and he would worship God in his wheelchair like this. Y'all with me? Yeah. He was one of our favorite youth. We love Johnny. Y'all with me?
Yeah.
Here's what I want to say. If you don't get up every morning and ask the two questions, who can I bless and how can I bless them, you're missing out on crazy, amazing, God-sized opportunities. Y'all with me? Listen, it is easy to have courage and boldness Wednesday nights here where it's safe, where these guys are doing their thing, where we're encouraging you to be crazy, where it's safe to be stupid and crazy and say weird things. It's so okay and it's all right to do that. But what about out there? You need the courage and boldness to ask the questions. Tomorrow when I go to Terry Sanford, tomorrow when I go to Cape Fear High School, tomorrow when I go to Jack Britt, tomorrow when I show up, who can I bless and how can I bless them? Listen, even if it's a perfect stranger or if it's that kid that really annoys the crap out of me. What if they don't go to Destiny Generation? Can I still ask who can I bless and how can I bless them? Green balloon, orange car, Walmart, Waffle House. Can you do it? Hello, can you do it? So I'm going to close with this. Would you stand? Would you stand? Because I know I'm a few minutes over, but I don't care. Stand up, please. Actually, I always want to do that, like drink the water in the middle of an altar car because I see all the famous people do it. You know what I mean? Like, stand up, please. Yeah. They always do that, don't they? That was the weirdest comment I could have made in a sermon. I'm surrounded by lions that want to roar. Does that make sense? I'm surrounded by lions in fable that want to roar. And what do you want to roar? That God really is that good, that he really does love you that much. Listen, you want to tell the mom that's packing her groceries that you had an angelic message come from heaven. You want to do that. You know why you want to do that? Because you want to see God do something that is so outrageous that it had to be him. And you want to be at the place of the resurrection. Listen, the place of the resurrection is not the cross of Golgotha. It's wherever you walk and you decide here, now, this moment, there will be a resurrection of holiness where there's been hurt, of healing where there's been pain. Are y'all with me? When you start realizing that you walk on holy ground wherever you go, and when you encounter the mom with the crying baby, when you encounter Johnny with both arms stuck, when you encounter tattoo dude who's smoking his cigarette and looking like he's going to punch you in the face, in that moment, you either man up or woman up and step out in what God's doing and realize he wants to love on people. He wants to meet that guy. He wants to speak healing into people's lives, but I've just been too chicken to turn on the radio frequency and join in the worship and realize what God's doing outside on the streets. I keep it for Wednesday night, and I think that's good enough. I sing the songs on Wednesday night. I listen to the sermons on Wednesday night. I get encouraged until about an hour from now when I totally forgot everything I just saw and learned and experienced. And what I need is courage and boldness. It doesn't take much courage and boldness to sing a song in the ark. It takes a lot to go to school tomorrow and do it. Are y'all with me? I don't know your neighborhood. I don't know your household. I don't know your mom and dad, your aunt, or your uncle. I don't even know your high school very well. I'm sorry, I don't. I don't know what it's like to be you. I don't know who said evil things about you. I don't know how popular or unpopular you are. I don't know how good you are at soccer or basketball or baseball. I don't know how much people laugh at you or how stupid or smart you think you are. But I do know what God says about you. You are children of the Most High, and if you will, then I will. Ask the question. So close your eyes. Pastor Josh, come up here, man. Ask the question. Holy Spirit, right now I ask that when I declare these two questions, every person that can hear my voice will begin to get an image immediately of who they're supposed to bless tomorrow and how they're supposed to bless them. Lord, I declare right now, as I say it, every single person in this room will immediately see a face, a place, a person, a figure, a thought, an image, something as wild and crazy and as goofy as Waffle House or Walmart or as biology class or history or that kid that has that locker next to you that never can quite shut it properly. I pray, Lord God, right now you give them that image when I say these words and that they will act upon it in boldness in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we're asking the question, are you guys ready? Are you ready? Be ready for the Holy Spirit. He's about to speak to you. Do not deny the image or the thought that the Holy Spirit's about to give you because we're about to hear from him. Lord, who can we bless? There it is. And now, Lord, how can we bless them? But that's uncomfortable. That will cost me my reputation. That'll make me look weird. I might get in trouble. Who, Lord, can I bless at whatever cost? Can't wear the name of Jesus and not act like him. And now I want to close with, if you want boldness, more boldness than you've ever had before, Josh and his staff are going to pray over you a boldness that you've never had. To go and listen, invade your territory. You don't need to invade Destiny Generation. It's already been invaded. Invade your territory. and only you can do it. If you want boldness to face tomorrow and ask the questions and then, wait for it, actually do it, I want you to come forward right now.